First of all, I want to wish you on behalf of the leadership of the church a very blessed and fruitful New Year 2019. Fruitful for the Lord, joyful in Him, and let that be your strength as we press on in this new year. It is so good to be in God's house this afternoon and to sing of hymns of praise, of grace to the Lord. And indeed, as we have sung earlier, another year is dawning. If you look at the word of this hymn, it's so meaningful. 554. It says, another year is dawning, has dawned on us, this 2019. And it's a prayer. I wonder when you sang that just now, you just sing the words itself, or do you understand, do you really sing it meaningfully from it? If you sing meaningfully from it, you will agree to me that with me that really this is a very wonderful hymn. Thank God for guiding Brother Jack in selecting these hymns. Dear Father, let it be in working or waiting another year with thee. This is another year God has given to us. Another year of leaning upon thy loving breast, of depending upon God. Another year of trusting, of quiet, happy rest. Another year of mercies, of faithfulness and grace. Another year of gladness in the shining of thy face as we meet each day to behold our Lord. Another year of progress. Another year of praise. Another year of proving thy grace all the days. Another year to experience the reality of the grace of God in our lives. Another year of service. Another year of weakness for thy love. Another year of training for holier work above. Another year of dawning, dear Father. Let it be on earth, where if the Lord allowed us to have life and breath on earth to serve Him, to learn more of Him, or else in heaven. Another year for the Lord. It's a very wonderful hymn. And so I hope that as you have sung earlier, next time when you are singing again, think of the word itself, reminding you, yes, it's a challenge, another year. With the Lord with us, it is going to be better, there will be progress as we learn dependence upon Him. Very good hymn. And so as we think of this new year, learning to depend upon Him, we need instruction from the Word of God. So if you turn with me to Psalm number 19. Psalm number 19. Psalm number 19 is the Psalm of David. In this Psalm, it is talking about God. First of all, God revealed Himself. We being finite beings, we cannot know God unless and except He revealed to us. And we are thankful to God that He revealed to us. He did reveal to us. How did He reveal to us? Verse 1, to verse 6 tells us that he revealed himself to us through his creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Wherever you are, regardless of the language you have, regardless of your education, as you look at God's creation, you know God is there. If you have a heart that is desiring to know God, yes, you can see, yes, God is there. There's God. And that is why the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. To say that there is no God when it's so obvious, the Bible says, this man is a fool. And so, he continues, and their line is gone out, verse 4, through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In them have been set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the ends of heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Here he's talking about the sun, talking about the moon, the stars, and so on. You can see it. It's so obvious. God has revealed himself through his creation. So this is one aspect of God's revelation. God revealed himself through his creation. General revelation of God. And not only is God revealing that general, giving us that general revelation of himself, but he also gives us particular revelation. Particular revelation meaning the specifically things telling us concerning who God really is. Concerning his character. Concerning what he expects of us. Concerning ourselves, who we are. And so he says that in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them, there is great reward. And here, it is talking about the word of God that has been revealed. Here we have every aspect of the word of God telling us concerning the way he deals with people, his judgment, concerning how he has been good in guiding the people, his testimonies, his specific instruction to the people, to us, his commandments, and so on and so forth. All of these are given. It covers the every aspect of our life. And so God has given us his precious word. And we have it in our Bible, here, in the King James. We believe that this is the most faithful, accurate translation in English. The question is that, are you spending time in the Word of God? And so, God has revealed himself. So that we can know this God, this great God who created the heavens and the earth. And this God who condescend to this to humanity in order to save these wretched sinners to himself. And such is our God. So as he thinks about how God has revealed himself through his creation, through His word that He has given through His prophets and so on. He has a concern in his heart. He says, what does this mean to me? I mean, having seen, God has revealed Himself, there's a great God who can create all these things. So beautiful, so marvelous. Some of us in our midst love flowers, and you go to garden at the base, especially in those special season, we have a lot of different flowers and so on. It's so beautiful and so on. Yes, you admire the beauty of it, but does it cause you to think, how great is my God who created all these beautiful flowers? Or you go to somewhere else, you go to some deep sea aquariums and so on, you're going to see creatures they've never seen before. Some of these deep creatures, in the darkness, they become illuminated. But who created them? God. Or you go to some nice place, where there's beautiful landscape, blue skies, snowy mountains, and so on, cool, crisp air. So beautiful. Or you enjoy the place, but you come into your heart and say, praise my God for creating this. You see, the thing is that God created all this. The thing is that it must cause us to personally reflect, God, my God, created all this. And so as you think of God, he asks a few questions. In verse 12, it says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret thoughts. I mean, if you can know and see that this is a great God as revealed in His creation, and then we have the Bible as we get to know more of Him and through His Word, why do we go away from Him? Why do we try to escape from Him? See, the word here, it says, verse 12, who can understand His error? The word error simply means the straying away. So he says, as he reflects upon it, he said, God, I don't understand why I always want to stray away from you. I don't understand. I mean, you are a great God. You deserve my full attention. I ought to come to you with great esteem. Yet I know that many a time I run away. Isn't it? I mean, we know many things true about God. But then there are many times in our hearts, the opportunity to read God's word, we choose between, maybe you have to go into Facebook or these things, we choose Facebook. And an opportunity to come to worship God and seek His face, but if there and other thing comes in place, where's your priority? You say, well, I choose the other thing. Okay. Sorry, I need to attend to the other matter. But at times, really emergency, but there are times we're actually not that slow. But you place those things as priority in your life. I mean, that God has given us His word. It's so precious. And there are wondrous things out of God's law. And we ought to spend time reading God's word. We need to take root downward and so on. But when you come to Sunday structured class, it says, I try to avoid. I'll go away. Please count me out. I am not interested in this. Why? I mean, why is that not interested at all? Not interested in the Word of God? I mean, we may give 101 reasons it's boring, whatever it is. But if you have a heart desiring to learn, Even you can learn from the most boring person. Trust me, you can. But do you have a desire to learn? And you can contribute in our structured class, for example. It is this in a discussional kind of format. There are certain things you don't understand, you can raise it up, and you can even discuss and, you know, help each other to dig deeper in the Word of God. So he said, who can understand? He said, why? I don't understand why. I know that it is good, yet I chose otherwise. There's this man, his name is Robert Robinson. He wrote this hymn, or this poem, Countdown Fount of Every Blessings. Very wonderful hymn. And let me see, what's the number? Countdown Fount. Number 26. It's a come down fount of every blessings, tune my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. God, you deserve worship, you deserve praise, because you have been so gracious, merciful unto me. Teach me some melodious song sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount and fix upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. And then stanza 2 talk about how God has helped him. He experienced it personally. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Hitherto by thy help I'm come. It is, Lord, by thy help. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home, to be faithful until when I reach heaven. Jesus sought me when I was, when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. Here to rescue me from danger, interpose his precious blood. God shed his precious blood for me. Save me, a wretched sinner. Notice stanza 3. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor. I'm a debtor. I owe God so much. Daily I'm constrained to be. Let that goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. He says, I have a tendency to wander. Then the next line says, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for the courts above. Prone to wander, Lord. I feel that. Do you? Are you prone to wonder? Does this echo your heart? He's a great God. He loved me so much. He cared for me. And as I look back in the past year, how he has helped me, sustained me, and especially when I was down, when I was so discouraged, when I find no help at all, he was there to help me. And yet now when I'm well, everything is okay. I don't want to seek him. So on Sunday, I have the opportunity to give excuse. I'll give excuse. I say, yeah, because of it, I cannot come. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. So he prays, here's my heart, take it, seal it. Lord, help me that I may not stray away from thee. And so this is what the psalmist wrote. Who can understand his error? I mean, God has revealed himself. This is a great God that I know of. And yet, I stray away from him. Who can understand his errors? cleanse thou me from secret faults. David expressed it another way also in Psalm 119. In the verses that most of us are familiar with. In verse 9, we often memorize verse 9, verse 11. But verse 10 is very interesting. So I read to you verse 9 to 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The middle one says, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. All of us must realize this. The tendency for us to stray away from God, to wander away from the God who loves us, the God whom we profess to love, the God whom we profess to give our allegiance to, yet we stray away from Him. So He says, help me in this. I know there's a propensity for me to stray away. And then He continues, He says, verse 13, He seek God's help. Say, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression, so that I will not sin against God. What is it that he is praying? First, he says, well, I have the tendency to wander away, to stray away. Why? Because there's in his heart, he knows that pride, I can depend on myself. I don't need to depend upon God. When I in need, yes, I experience God is help. I need God help me. But everything is well. No, I can help myself. I don't need God at all. And so he says that, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sin. Notice the word sin is in italic, it's presumptions. The word presumptuous here in the original meaning is translated elsewhere in the King James as pride. Keep me from pride. That I can do it, I can handle it. And that is why I stray away from God. I don't need God. Why do I need to spend time in His Word? Yes, He's good. He has been helping me, you know. But now I'm okay. I don't need God. You know, I can go along well. And so in a sense, well, I'm in control. I can handle it myself. So he says, help me and guide me in this. And not only that, so he says, he realized his tendency to stray away. And then the key thing that caused him to stray away is his pride, which is there. He knows it. And you all and I ought to know it. I can depend on myself. I don't need God now. No. Small matter, I can handle myself. And so in order to guard that, he says, let the word of my mouth, verse 14, and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. He seeks acceptance from the Lord, of the Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Be acceptable in thy sight. He's conscious of the two faculties that need to be acceptable or become pleasing to the Lord. They are his mouth and his heart. The words that he speaks through his mouth are expressions of the thoughts of his heart.
you go through your mind and things, whatever is there, you come out through your mouth.
Sometimes in a situation that you are in, you know, you may try to be polite and so on and so forth, but sometimes it doesn't really express what is in your really your heart. But when you are angry or whatever it is, you know, you sort of lost that control, you really burst out what is really in your heart. And sometimes can be very, very ugly. And we must not sweep it aside, but realize, hey, that is me, you know. And acknowledge that before God and ask His forgiveness. And so he says, I want to make sure that the word that I speak, the thoughts of my heart are acceptable. But how to have an acceptable heart? And this is what we are going to focus our attention on more this afternoon. The words of the mouth and meditation of the heart. In order for it to be acceptable before the Lord, it has to be a meditation of who God is, as He has revealed in His Word. The psalmist has earlier talked about God revealing Himself in His creation, God revealing Himself through His Word. And so, the meditation of the heart is to meditate on God, who has revealed Himself. So as we meditate upon God, as revealed in Scriptures, our hearts may be conditioned by and become attuned to the Word of God. That we have a heart that desires to please Him and to do His will in our lives. And it is important for us to do that. You know, the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, they were wandering in the wilderness for 43 years. And then as they enter into the promised land, and prior to the entering of the promised land, they were in this place called the Plain of Moab. Just before crossing the Jordan, River Jordan. And there God used Moses to give His last sermon. And He reminded the people and so He says in Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 39 says, know therefore this day and consider in thine heart that the Lord He is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath there is none else. Take that deep down in your heart. And the God mentioned, why warning them and telling them? The next chapter, the Lord, this is the command of the Lord. Deuteronomy 5, verse 29. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. And here is the Lord saying, oh, that there was such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep my commandment always. And it's going to be good for them. But the expression, oh, that they would do that, meaning that God looking at them, you know, said, this group of people, I know they will stray away. But if only they will keep true and keep faithful, they'll be blessed. But they chose to go otherwise and face all the problems and difficulties and so on, frustration. I don't want them to do it. But if they don't want to listen, you know, they go there, they'll face the consequence. Looking at historical record, biblical record, we know that even those moments when finally they realize they are wrong, they came back to God. God is so gracious to still accept them back.
But it's not God's design for them that they should go through all these difficulties, but it is because they did not seek after God. So as we want to meditate upon God, it's good for us. Spending time with reading the Word of God, God has revealed to us in His precious Word, as I mentioned. Spend time, plan to have time with God in His Word. As you read God's Word, it means what? It's reading His Word so that we know who God is. Don't just know about God. Know who God is in a personal way. Many of us know about somebody, know about this, but do not know the person. You know about Lee Hsien Loong. But do you know him personally? No, I don't. I'm sure most of you don't as well. Right? Between husband and wife, do you know about your husband or your wife? Or is it, do you know him or her? Oh, about this, oh, this person, my husband or wife is this and age is this, and so on and so forth. But you know the person, you know the character, the habit, a certain what thing trigger, what thing doesn't trigger, isn't it? And so it is the same with God. God has revealed to us in His Word. As we spend time, more time with Him, you begin to know more and more of Him. And then, in the course of your life, in the challenges that you face each day and so on, as you meet with Him, as you commune with Him every day, every moment, you get to know God better and better. In a very personal way. The knowledge of God always has to be experimental. Experimental means the knowledge is not just theory. You know, you'll be practicing it in your life in every situation. That's experimental knowledge. And so you know who God is, what pleases and what displeases Him, you know, what really matters to God. In your own situation, do you know what matters to God in your own situation? What is God really concerned about in your life? Sometimes we say, nobody concerned about it. Nobody cares about me. Even my parents, young people may say, my parents don't even know what I'm doing. I don't know how I feel about certain things. But God knows. Have you come before this God who knows and confide in fear and get to know Him? And so this knowledge of God is experimental. It is real knowledge. It's not just mere theoretical knowledge. And it is expressed the way we use our talents, the gift that God has given to you. It is expressed in a way that we use the treasure that God has given to us. Talent, treasure. And the way that we use the time that God has given to us. How I use the time, you know. And so let us guard ourselves. So as we think about this, I think it's important for each and every one of us to just pause and reflect. The memory verse for this afternoon is taken from Colossians 3:1. If ye then be risen with Christ, meaning if you are Christians, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. As Christian, you must seek the things of Christ. Seeking the things of Christ. As we seek things of Christ, we are focusing our mind upon God. And that's our theme, by the way, our sub-theme for 2019, seeking things of Christ. And that's the theme for our camp as well. We'll be studying Colossians 3, chapter 3 and chapter 4. So the question is, where is your heart? Matthew chapter 6 verse 21 says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Is your heart on God, the thing that He has revealed Himself? Or is your heart away from that? And any other thing except God. And it is reflected in our everyday life. Where is your heart? God is that revealed Himself. Our focus should be upon Him. We should try to know who God is and what is His will for us, what pleases Him and what displeases Him. In the way that we handle our family, are we conscious that God is indeed the head of our family? Yes, husband is the head, but over above is God Himself, the Lord. In some home, they have a, like say, Christ is the unseen head. Right? Let it not be unseen head. Let it be seen with your spiritual eyes that He is indeed the head of your family. Every member of the family, father, mother, children, aware that indeed Christ is head. Whatever action that is done in the family, whatever conversation in the family, God is there. Is this pleasing before God? Is this right before Him? Will He command you? Or will He rebuke you? And so, as we think of this, this will help us to look at our own family, our activities in the family. We begin to ask ourselves, is this activity going to be pleasing before? Will God be pleased with it? I'm going to do some planning for this family, this home, and so on. Because He is not the unseen, but to you in your spiritual eyes, you say, yes, He's seen. Lord, what do you think of this plan? So as you are aware that He is the head of family, you come together to seek Him every day, family prayer, and singing of hymns, reading of Bible. You pray one for the other. John says this, the aged apostle John, and John, 3 John verse 4 says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." To make sure that they are walking close with God, walking in His way, seeking things pleasing in His sight. And knowing that when they do that, they will have the blessings of God in their life. Every parent has a desire that God's children may be blessed. Do you desire material blessings only? Or do you desire spiritual blessings in their life? Material blessings will only last a lifetime, but spiritual blessings will last eternity. And so let us therefore work on that. Where is your heart in your family? Where is your heart? On God or some other things in your workplace? Or in your study, those who among us who are still studying. Knowing what God has revealed to us, we know that He is in control of all situations. God has given you that job that you are in. Tough, challenging job might be, and God has put you there for a good purpose. We heard testimony of Elder Paul last during the year-end service. Being thrown, as it were, in a tough situation, a foreign situation. Learn to depend upon God. And found, going through it, that God is real and true, and God has helped him. God has placed you there. Your workplace is very challenging, a lot of pressure, and so on and so forth. True, I think many work situations are very pressurized. Okay. Giving you one person pay and expect you to do 3-person jobs. So it's tough, but knowing that God is there, you can always confide with Him and learn to depend upon Him, seeking His help, knowing that He has put you there, He'll open up the way, He'll clear the way, and in the meanwhile, you can be a testimony for Him. The same for those who are studying. You are there in the school or wherever it is, God has placed you there for a purpose. The studies, the assignment given you may be very, very challenging. There are so many assignments, all the deadlines are there. How to finish all those assignments? Burning midnight oil also cannot finish. Sometimes you wonder why the teacher, lecturer are putting so much demand on you. But as you seek the Lord will give you wisdom to know how to manage your time, how to handle the whole various things. A passage that you are supposed to read, a chapter, you know, you find that you read 1 hour, 2 hour, 3 hour, 4 hour, 5 hours, don't understand. But the Lord give you understanding, you just read half an hour, you understand. Well, yeah, so clear, so obvious. Provided you are depending upon the Lord. If you are depending on your own strength, that's why you are laboring and then very frustrated, very, very pressurized and so on. In the process, as you learn, depend upon acknowledging God, those around you can see the difference. They may even come to you and ask, yeah, I notice you are different from us. How you manage all those things? You can share with them. My God is real and true. He helped me. So not only when we think of God, you know, meditating upon God in our family, in our workplace, in our study, and even in our worship. Knowing that, hey, God has saved me. Here on Sunday is an appointed time God has given me to come to this place. He had appointed for me and my fellow believers, brethren, to come together to worship Him, to seek His face. Do you come with an expectant heart, a heart of longing after God to meet Him, to worship Him? Because He deserves to be worshipped, right? Come before Him to worship Him, to learn more and more of Him through the message that's preached. Participate actively, alert, and to learn of more of God. Sometimes we get ourselves very distracted, isn't it? I've mentioned this, but I think it's worthwhile mentioning it. As the Apostle Paul says, to me it's not grievous, but for you it's safe. I have no objection to use mobile phone for your Bible app. Some says, well, with that I can make the font bigger, I can see it's lighter and so on. might be the case. But if you are using it for in a worship service, can I urge you again, please turn it to airplane mode. But if you are not turning that, can I suggest don't use that phone app. Bring along a Bible. Because you and I know very well, as you read the portion of scriptures, nobody else knows. Then you may put it in silent mode. Yeah. The thing appears there. There's a WhatsApp message. You ignore it. Chances are you don't. You'll find out more detail. And then you're reading that message itself while the rest continue on. And then in the reading, you try to reply. Did this happen? You and I know very well. And as we come before God to worship Him, yes, afternoon can be very tiring, right? That is why we have aircon. That's why our brother Michael makes sure that the aircons are working so that it's cool enough, not too hot, otherwise you'll feel more sleepy. Okay. Don't worry if it's too cold. Too cold, some of you just put the thing down there. I think it's colder, make you more alert. Okay. So we help one another, but you must help yourself as well. If you come to church and when the moment message is starting, you start to doze off. Ask yourself, why am I doing that? Why is this happening to me all the time? Am I not interested? Or what? Is there any activities that cause me to be tired by the time in the afternoon? Take note of that. Work on solution. Some will have a quick nap before they come here so they are awake. Some I know will come, okay, go to at the back, the thing is there, and I drink a cup of coffee. Whatever it is, you know, you say, I know I have a tendency to do that. Lord, help me. I want to learn. I want to focus my mind upon Thee. I want to really give of my best to Thee. So, these are the things. There is your heart, especially concerning your finance. Do you know that whatever you have, your finance, come from God? It is God who enables and provides all that you and I have. An acceptable heart before God will be one that acknowledges, yes, God, you are the one who provides us. If you turn with me to the First Chronicles chapter 29. Here is the dedicatory prayer. King David had already prepared the material for the temple. He wanted to build the temple for God. He saw that he was living in a house with roof, and God's house was in a tent. See, it's not right. No, my house is in the with roof, with cedar wood, but God's house is in a tent. I want to build. He told his good friend, Nathan the prophet. And Nathan the prophet says, I think it's a good idea. God will surely bless you. Go ahead, you know. After the discussion, Nathan went out. God told him, you will give the wrong advice. Okay. It's a good thing that he has this desire, but I don't want him to build. I want his son to build. God told Nathan. So Nathan had to blakang pusin, turn back, you know, and tell David. Okay, David heard it. He said, okay, I'll prepare the material. And so it is here. He prepared everything, and then his prayer. First Chronicles chapter 29, verse
10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, "Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all there is in the heavens and the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. In thy hand it is power and might, in thy hand it is to make great and give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." Notice verse 14. "But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? So much gold, so much wood." And David said, who am I? And who are we that we can offer these things? He says, "For all things come of thee, and of thy hand, of thy own, have we given thee. All that we have, Lord," actually, you are the one who supply. It's just like a child. You say, "Want to buy a present, birthday present for the father." Okay. "I want to buy a big present," but as a child, no money. So get the money from the father, buy a present, and give to the father. And he gave to the father, but the money come from the father, right? So the same thing, David was saying, who are we to be able to offer? But it is God who has given us. So who am I and who are these my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? "For all things come of thee, and of thy own have we given thee." And so, I think we should have the attitude of David, knowing that all that we have come from God. Our finances come from God. To be able to return back to Him is a privilege, a glorious privilege. So in this connection, I'm asking all of us, are you giving your tithe? Are you giving the 10% that God has mentioned in your offering? Or is it just simply some amount, put it there? But do you consciously plan and say, "No, Lord, thou has blessed me that much. And here is a tithe, a 10% of what thou has blessed." God has designated that. And it is for our blessings. You say, "I'm going to give tithe, I'm going to use so much lesser can." But if you hold back, you're holding back God's blessing upon your life. God is no man's debtor. Why He wants these things to be done? I mean, we know that our God is a God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. As David said, all that we have come from God. He is the one who provides everything. But do we really acknowledge that? If He's provided everything that I need, He told me to put aside the 10%, He'll make sure you'll never lack. As you learn to trust Him more and more, you find that, actually, even if I trust Him for more than 20%, the Lord will provide. It is a test of faith. Test of faith of where your heart is. Is it on God who created everything? You are going to invest for eternity? Or is it something that you are thinking more of, mundane, earthly things only, that you are restricting yourself to it? So are you giving your tithe? I think there's a question that you and I have to answer before the Lord.
I think it's time for us to, you know, here we in the larger, we don't say, okay, how much you earn, okay, check, you give how much, you know. No, we don't do that. It is between you and God, but God has declared that and mentioned to us your 10%. And you can give beyond that, but your 10%. Are you giving that 10%? I think it's good for us to be reminded of that. So, dearly beloved, where is your heart? How much is the tithe? How much is your offering to the Lord? Do you give to mission? Sometimes we heard of missionary friends in need. Does it move your heart to give? Does it move your heart to say, well, here is someone that, you know, who's serving the Lord? Let me be encouraging to him and so on and so forth. Sometimes occasionally we have missionary who come and worship with us and visit with us. You know that he's a missionary or she is a missionary. You say, I didn't know the person is coming. Okay. But you know, but you say, okay, maybe I should take out this additional money and then pass it. It is something for you. It's an encouragement that some of us would have done for Chun Ching when she was going to leave home for when we met the last at the camp, and then before going back, some pass. Okay, it's for you. Take care. I'll push you out, push you out. But this is something as a token of love for you. You care. So, see, it all depends on how we, our hearts has been stirred up. Where is our heart? I know of this family. So there was one, this missionary came, serving the Lord faithfully in the Philippines. As he share and talk, you know, this family has financially is quite tight, so they couldn't. Peter come up and say, "No, but we want to be involved. Somehow we want to help out in this work." Went back home and search some gold chain, whatever. Okay, yeah, take it and pass it to this missionary. You see, it all depends on how much you can move your heart. Many people do not like to talk about finance, money. I think it's important because this is where it mostly hurts many people. It pricks your heart. But this is the Lord's command for us. This is the Lord's instruction for us. And it's an aspect of a reflection of the spiritual growth of the people. You read through the Apostle Paul's epistles. He commanded the believers in different churches how they grow spiritually and how did they do. They actually contribute to the help. Some are so poor financially themselves, yet they try no matter how to give. That is an expression of spiritual growth. So, where is your heart in the finance? And this is what the Lord warned the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 8:17, because they said, well, we have been there, we settled. It says that God warned them, and thou say in thy heart, my power and my might, than the might of my hand has gotten me this well. It's my talent, my talents, my hard work, you know, I got this finance, not God. Is it so? So therefore, you are not willing to let go. And where's your heart in terms of service? We know that God has saved us to himself. It is a great privilege to serve the Lord. a great joy to serve our Savior. And service becomes no longer a chore. You don't just murmur, you don't dispute about it. And you are willing to commit yourself. There's commitment and dedication in your service. Striving to give the best. All of us are not expert in their various area. But as you avail yourself, willing to be used of the Lord, the Lord can use you. And you look back and say, you marvel how God can use me. But are you willing to be used of the Lord? As you read through the Apostle Paul letter and the other Apostle Paul, it says what you serve as a slave. You don't serve as a prima donna, as though you are somebody special. You serve as a slave. Slaughtering all. Don't expect other people to serve you. Serve others. And this should be our attitude as a church. There's our heart focused upon God. So there are many things that we need to do. Give our best to the Lord. 25th anniversary coming. I'm sure with the approaching of time, there are more things that need to be done, and so on and so forth. You will be approached. Be willing to say, yes, I'm willing to help. In that, whatever little way here and there, I mean, all of us contribute little bit, I think it go a long way. And the anniversary become our celebration. It's not something, oh, Deacon Jacks, he's the one, his responsibility, or boat up. No. It's our celebration. Chinese New Year coming, we have the Steamboat Fellowship. Come together, yes, enjoy, and help out one another. Come early, help out, set up the whole thing, and so on and so forth. Be involved. Be involved in inviting out your friends as well. Get them to come in. Tracting, monthly tracting. Oh, there are this group of people going already. I don't need to go. Why not? We are serving the great God. We have good news to tell with the people. They say, well, that is not effective. Effectiveness is not dependent upon you. Effectiveness is dependent on God who sent you there. Salvation is of the Lord. Our responsibility is that, yes, here's an opportunity, I go, I do it. But will you be faithful in doing that? I think it's something that we need to think about, reflect upon. We think about reaching out to the children. We thank God that there are additional children that came in. We pray that more will come. But are you doing your part to bring the children in? I was talking to a sister. She said, you know, all along we've been asking the children to bring their children to come. We find that, well, that would be more difficult. But if you are parents, you see your neighbor has children, or your neighborhood, there are children there, would you be concerned enough to seek opportunity to get to know the parents, and then maybe one day they can ask, what are your children doing on Sunday afternoon? They're nothing to do. They have been very noisy at home. Can I help you? No, we our church, we have Sunday school program. Can I bring your child along with me? You are their neighbor, they know you. But will you do your part to do that? If all of us were just individually, one neighbor, it will help. Isn't it? The same thing even for the CTYPF. Oh, by the way, it was announced, but I think it had to announce again. The CTYF will be renamed as CTYPF. CT is Calvary Tengah, YPF, Young People Fellowship. You know, so it will not be just as though it is very, very young people, but young people. Invite those young people. To come along and join this. Then the camp coming soon. Registration is going to start this month. Plan and anticipate to look forward to it. Man to come for it. It's so good to be in the camp. You may never know when you cannot go for the camp. What's so difficult about that? You will know. Anything happens. So, guard yourself. You remember that there was one year I planned to go for the camp. I wasn't at the camp. The camp was at Penang. And while the campus were at Penang, I was in hospital. Having camp in a hospital for 5 days. So you will never know. So don't take it for granted. You have the privilege to be able to go for it. Okay? Don't put it aside. So as we seek to look to the Lord will give us the measure of grace and the strength to do it. Second Chronicles 16 verse 9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those of them whose heart is perfect towards him." God is ever ready to help you. Where is your heart? Is it towards God or otherwise? So as we reflect upon this, we think about the fact that this is also Dedication Sunday. Dedication Sunday is a day that beginning of the year whereby we say and commit before the Lord. Lord, I strive to be found faithful to thee in my life and in the things that I do. In a personal way, then we talk about service commitment. And so if you look at your insert, and this dedicatory pledge applies to everyone who call themselves Christians. The dedication goes this way. I, so-and-so, on this Lord's Day, 2nd of January, consecrate myself to Almighty God in His service and promise by the enabling of the Holy Spirit to commit all my ways to Him, to abstain from all appearance of evil, to love Him because He first loved me, to view my life in the light of eternity, to abide in Him and He in me, to rejoice in hope, continue instant in prayer, yield to the Spirit never to quench or grieve Him, take Him at His word, never doubting, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, number my days and redeem the time. Give thanks to him in all things. Advance his kingdom by being a good witness for him. Hold fast the profession of my faith till he come. And this day do I also, with the utmost solemnity, surrender myself to thee, O God. I consecrate to thee all that I am and have, the faculties of my mind, the members of my body, my worldly possessions, my time, my influence over others, to be used entirely for thy glory and resolutely to be employed in obedience to thy commandments. To thee I leave the management of all events and say without reserve, not my will, but thine be done. To help me, God. Amen. This is a prayer that all of us should be praying. And so if you are ready, let us stand and let us recite this together. Okay, ready, go. I, Frederick Lan, on this Lord's Day, 6th January 2019, consecrate myself to Almighty God in his service and promise that by the enabling of the Holy Spirit to commit all my ways to him, abstain from all appearance of evil, love him because he first loved me, view my life in the light of eternity, abide in him and he in me, rejoice in hope and continuing instant in prayer, yield to the Spirit, never to quench or grieve him, take him at his word, never doubting, and your hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Number my days and redeem the time. Give thanks to him in all things. Advance his kingdom by being a good witness for him. Hold fast the profession of my faith till he comes. And this day do I also, with the utmost solemnity, surrender myself to thee, O God. I consecrate to thee all that I am and have, the faculties of my mind, the members of my body, my worldly possessions, my time, my influence over others, to be used entirely for thy glory and resolutely to be employed in obedience to thy commandments. To thee I leave the management of all events and say without reserve, not my will, but thine be done. So help me, God. Amen. Indeed, our Father in heaven, this is our prayer. And we commit ourselves unto thee, and help us to honor this prayer, and give us the strength and the measure of grace to do so. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.